Okay, I want everyone to just pause for a second. Think about the last time you bought something online. Maybe it was a specialized coffee grinder, some running socks, or maybe you just ordered dinner on Uber Eats.
It was Tuesday. You were tired. We've
Yeah,
all been there.
exactly. What was the very first thing you looked at?
The picture. It's always the picture.
Right. You probably didn't even think twice about it. You saw the burger, you wanted the burger.
Yep.
But today, we're going to obsess over that picture. Because we have a stack of notes here based on a workshop module by a photographer named Don Giannotti.
And there are some numbers buried in this, something he calls the aggressive scenario, that are, well, frankly, they're startling.
They really are. And it's funny because when you think side hustle, you think driving for a rideshare app or
Or
something,
drop shipping, yeah.
right?
But this is a hard skill. And the model in our source material suggests that with a focused photography side hustle, we're talking maybe 15 to 20 hours a week, you could theoretically generate over $8,800 a month.
Let's just let that sink in for a second. That is a six-figure run rate, over $100,000 a year, part-time.
It sounds like a scam.
My scam radar is definitely going off. It feels like one of those YouTube ads with a guy in front of a rented Lamborghini.
Right. But the mission of this deep dive is to, tear that math apart and see if it actually holds water.
And when you dig into module one of this workshop, which is our source today, the whole premise is fascinating because it's not about art.
No, not at all. It's not about finding your soul through the lens.
Not how to be the next Ansel Adams. It isn't even how to win an Instagram contest. This is like a strict roadmap for commercial viability.
It's about moving from just taking pictures to actually making money.
And surprisingly, the source argues that to make that money, you have to be. Well, you have to be incredibly boring,
You have to ignore that urge to be clever.
which is so painful for creatives. But okay, we're going to decode exactly how you get from just owning a camera to that six-figure potential.
And I think we have to start with the why now.
Yes, because this shouldn't make sense. Everyone has an incredible camera in their pocket. Why would anyone pay thousands for photos?
It's what the source calls the e-commerce explosion. But I think it's deeper than just people shop online now.
It's the content beast.
It is the content beast. Precisely. Think about the shelf life of an image. 10, 15 years ago, a brand would shoot a campaign for a magazine.
And that image would live for what, 6 months?
Right. It had staying power.
Yeah.
Today, a brand post on Instagram or TikTok shop, how long does that last?
Maybe 24 hours, if you're lucky.
If that, it gets buried. So the beast needs to be fed constantly. And we're not just talking about Nike or Coke. The source points specifically to DTC, direct-to-consumer brands.
The local hot sauce company, the subscription box for dog toys.
The meal prep service down the street, they all need fresh visuals every single week just to stay relevant in the feed.
So the demand isn't for one masterpiece. It's for a steady stream of good to great images that sell something right now.
Exactly. And there's a tech shift here, too, the death of the traditional studio.
Oh yeah, I used to work in production. A commercial shoot meant renting a huge warehouse.
Hauling in heavy C-stands, renting 5 grand worth of strobe lights.
And you absolutely had to have a catering truck.
The catering truck was the best part, but that barrier to entry has just completely collapsed.
It's the lightweight mirrorless cameras and the portable LED lighting.
The LEDs are key, aren't they? Because it's what you see is what you get.
Right, no more guessing what the strobe is going to do. You turn the light on, you see the shadow, you move the light.
It changes the whole learning curve. It means a studio is now just a corner of your living room. You basically have a mobile commercial facility in a backpack.
Okay, so we have infinite demand and accessible tech. That's the opportunity. But let's get specific. Where's the money? The course breaks down three money-making niches.
Right, so the first one is the volume play, product photography.
This is your Amazon, your Etsy, your Shopify crowd.
Exactly. But don't just think white background. Think about the logistics. A company selling, say, organic skincare has hundreds of skin stock keeping units.
And they need a clean, well-lit shot of every single one from every angle.
And for a side hustle, this is perfect. You don't need models. You don't need to coordinate schedules. You can do this at 10 p.m. on a Tuesday in your pajamas.
It's so scalable. And the source mentions subscription boxes.
That's the golden ticket right there. You land a subscription box client, they just send you the box every single month. That's recurring revenue.
The Holy Grail.
You're not hunting for the next gig. The gig literally arrives in the mail.
Okay, niche number two. This one seems like the most fun, but also the most stressful, food photography.
It can be. But the market is massive. And again, think local. It's not just the fancy steakhouse, it's the ghost kitchens.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. For a ghost kitchen, the photo is the storefront.
They live or die by the thumbnail. If that burger doesn't glisten on the screen, nobody clicks add to cart.
And restaurants have high turnover, seasonal menus, holiday specials.
That means high repeat business. They need new photos all the time.
But how do you fit that into a 9-to-5 schedule? You can't shoot during a chaotic dinner service.
You never shoot during service. You shoot in the dead hours, like between 2 and 4 p.m. It's actually pretty flexible.
Okay, let's talk about the third niche. This is the big ticket item, according to the source. Lifestyle and brand photography.
Yeah, this is where you see the jump in rates. We're talking $2,000 to $5,000 for a half day or a full day shoot.
And who's the client for this?
It's the service economy. Real estate agents, business coaches, wellness influencers, they aren't selling a thing. They're selling themselves. They're selling a vibe.
So it's more than just a headshot.
Oh, way more. A headshot is a passport photo with better lighting. This is about delivering a library of 20 to 50 images of them in action.
So they have a quarter's worth of social media content from one day.
You're solving a massive marketing headache for them. That's why they pay.
But, and this is a huge but, in the source material, you can't just do all three.
No. That is the jack of all trades trap. And it's a death sentence for your portfolio.
The course has this very strict concept, the approved portfolio lanes and the 70-30 rule.
Right. And it's tough because you'd think showing more variety proves you're talented. Like, look, I can shoot anything.
But clients don't think like that. They're risk averse. If a restaurant owner sees a photo of a newborn baby next to a plate of spaghetti on your website,
they don't think, wow, range. They think, this person is confused and I don't want baby germs on my food.
Laughs. That's a fair point. It feels unprofessional.
So the 70-30 rule says you must dedicate 70% of your portfolio to a primary lane. You have to be known for one thing.
And the workshop forces you to choose. You can't just pick, you know, abstract photos of bugs.
No, because this is about money. Option A is product and still life bottles, jars. Option B is controlled food and beverage.
Controlled meaning like a simple cupcake on a stand.
Exactly. Not a chaotic dinner party. And option C is B2B detail.
B2B detail. That's an interesting term. The notes describe it as hands at work.
Yes. This is a sleeper hit. Think of a potter's hands on a wheel or a mechanic's hands with a wrench. It's textural. It shows the work without needing a model's face.
So you pick one, you stick to it. What about the other 30%, the secondary lane?
That comes later. And the rule is compatibility. It cannot fight your primary lane.
So if my primary is sleek tech products, my secondary can't be like gritty mud run sports events.
Correct. It creates cognitive dissonance. The source puts it perfectly. If it feels like a genre switch, it doesn't belong. You're curating an identity.
And I love this quote from the notes. Clients don't buy clever first. They buy clear.
That is the mantra. And that brings us to the whole philosophy here. And honestly, this is where most creatives get angry.
Yeah, reading the prohibitions list for module one, It's strict. It literally lists things you are not allowed to shoot.
It is a strict diet. No emotional storytelling, no visual metaphors, no color gels. No lifestyle chaos.
Wait, no emotional storytelling? That feels like a personal attack on artists. Isn't photography about emotion?
Art is about emotion. Commerce is about clarity. Giannotti is brutal on this. He says, and I'm quoting here, this is commercial training, not therapy.
Ouch, not therapy.
It sounds harsh, but think like the client. You're selling a blender. You don't need a photo that explores the photographer's childhood trauma.
You need a photo that shows how to turn the blender on.
You need it to look powerful, clean, and easy to use. End of story.
So the distinction is art asks questions, commerce answers them.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. A commercial image answers, what is this and why should I want it? If the viewer has to pause and figure it out, you've lost the sale.
So this whole phase is about stripping away your ego.
It's about predictability.
Mm.
A business needs to know that if they hire you, the result will be usable. They are writing a check for a result, not for an attempt.
And to really hammer this home, the course assigns a drill for week one that sounds, well, excruciatingly boring.
It is the scales of photography.
Right.
Just like a pianist plays scales. The assignment is create two images, exact same subject, say a bottle of shampoo,
yep.
Exact same setup. Exact same surface, yeah. Exact same light.
So, two identical photos. Why?
Well, you can make tiny refinements, move a bounce card 1 inch, rotate the bottle 3 degrees, but you cannot change the props. You can't just throw in some flower petals to spice it up.
I feel attacked. My instinct is always, this isn't working, let's add more stuff.
That's the amateur reflex. If it's not good, make it complicated. The pro reflex is, if it's not good, simplify and control the light.
So the goal is for the second image to feel more confident than the first.
Exactly. It forces you to look at the details. Is the label perfectly straight? Is the highlight on the glass purely white? It's about intentionality. You're constructing the image, not just capturing it.
So you've done the reps. You've shot the bottle until you dream about it. How do you know if you're ready to actually charge money?
There's a checklist for that, the commercial readiness checklist. And the first item is my favorite, the 2-second test.
Walk us through it.
Show the image to a stranger for 2 seconds. Take it away. Can they tell you exactly what is being sold?
So if they say, cool photo, nice mood, you've failed.
You've absolutely failed. They need to say, that's a premium face cream. If they have to squint, or if the prop in the background is more interesting than the product, it's a fail.
And when you scroll Instagram, you see so many brands failing this.
All the time. The next check is lighting intent. Are there shadows? If yes, are they there on purpose? The source says, no drama for drama's sake.
Right. Beginners love moody shadows because it looks cinematic.
But if that shadow hides the logo or obscures the texture, commercial lighting should reveal, not hide.
And the last check, is it finished?
Does it look like a test shot, or does it look like something that belongs on a billboard? That distinction between exploratory and finished is huge.
Exploratory means I was messing around. Finished means I executed a plan.
And businesses only write checks for executed plans.
Okay, so pulling this all together. We started with this idea of a potential $100,000 side hustle, but the path there isn't about being a visionary artist.
No, it's about understanding the market demand for volume and speed. It's about serving the algorithm.
It's about picking a specific lame product, food, or lifestyle and refusing to leave it until you've mastered it.
The 70-30 rule. Mm. Focus creates value.
And it's about embracing the boredom of control, of shooting the same thing until it's perfect, not just clever.
That's the summary. And I want to leave with one final thought from the source, because we've been tough on creativity today.
Yeah.
But Giannotti says that the stuff on the forbidden list, the storytelling, the emotion, the art, it's not that those things are bad.
They're just out of sequence.
Exactly. You have to earn the right to break the rules. Learn the scales first.
Once you own the technical side, then you can bring in the art.
But if you try to be artistic before you're competent, you're just making noise.
That is a fantastic takeaway. So here's your homework for the week. Look at the images on a website you like. Apply that 2-second test.
Ask yourself, do I know what they're selling instantly? Or do I have to read the caption to figure it out?
Start seeing the difference between pretty pictures and commercial assets. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And who knows, maybe that 100 grand is closer than you think.
If you're willing to be just a little bit boring.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you in the next deep dive.